I voluntold you, that wouldn't be nice, would it? Well, sometimes I can read. I will try my best. Oh, I've got a volunteer. This young gentleman here, Jess, your mom, if you could come up.
She wouldn't allow it.
Hebrews 12, 18 through 29. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the meditator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words, once more, indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Thank you, sir. We'll get him a gold star. Now let's go ahead and start with our prayer, and then we'll dive into our lesson. Father, we are so very grateful for all that you've done through us, for us, through your Son. Father, we know where we've come from. We know all that we've done. We know that you know us through and through. That past that we've carried, you're so aware of it, but you have provided for us. And provided more than we could have ever even asked for. So help us, Father, today to put our trust in you, to know that you are faithful, that our confidence as we come to you is not because we've managed to do it all just right, but because you have made us new, that you have forgiven us, that you have provided all that we need through your Son. And we trust you in that, Father, and we ask that you help us to trust you more. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. There are some things I don't think we ever learn well. One of those things is that the truth is there is one ideal present for children below probably about 5. Do y'all know what the best present is for children below 5? Oh, I'm not working. Y'all. There we go. Oh, I jumped ahead. Cardboard box. You buy them the best toy ever, and what do they do with it? Move it to the side, play with the box. Because a box you can do tremendous things with. A box becomes a car. A box lets you cry in peace. A box can become a house. It can become a castle. A box can become a cave. A box can be so many things where you can just hide away and feel like you're in your own place. Now, the nice thing about boxes is there's not a time we ever outgrow them. Now, as adults, we move out of the cardboard boxes and we build our own. Usually, we have a box based upon what we think about ourselves. We'll join along with John Mellencamp and say, well, I'm just small town and this is who I am. We'll plug along in thinking about who we are because of how we were raised, and that's just, you know, who I am. We put a box around ourselves, and we're used to that, and we're comfortable with it, and we're good because this is who I am. And so we live in our boxes, and we all have boxes in our lives where this is how we define, this is how we put things together as we go along. Now, the thing about boxes is we know there are some that you really can't live in. We try our best, but we really can't live in. The truth is, eventually, we find out we don't have to be in there. So the idea of I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see, those phrases are so very wonderful because we look back and say, I know where I've been. I know what I've done. I know where I am. But let me tell you now, here is where I am. Now, we know the truth of that, and we know how that works out, that what God has done for us in Christ has brought us to a place that we wouldn't even imagine being because we define ourselves by this box that we live in. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we get the truth given to us about who we have become through Jesus. So you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Do you see that once was and now is? I mean, just he says what we may have defined ourselves as, what we saw in ourselves, what we knew about ourselves, doesn't apply anymore in Jesus. I once was, but let me tell you what I am now. Before, I could tell you we could make a list. We could spend a whole month talking about all the struggles we've had, all the failures we've had, all the sins that we've had as a whole group. We could lay all that out and say, that's where I've come from. And in Christ, we know this is where I am. I've been forgiven. I've been made holy. I am blameless. I'm confident because I can stand before God because of what Jesus has done. And we know that in all of that list, we can see that. And I love that declaration there in verse 9. You are a chosen people. This is he defines for us not just, oh, one day this is what's going to happen. What we have in Christ is a change of today. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession. You are. And we see that, and we say, we can talk about, this is what I was, but I'm not that anymore. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Talking about the return of Christ. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. You hear that? He said, you are God's children. You belong to the light. You're no longer in this box that you can hide away and be in darkness. You're not there anymore. You are God's child through and through. And because you are God's child, we know, we can say confidently, you are loved, you are treasured, you have been blessed beyond your imaginations. And so we look at that and we know, like Peter says there in verse 9, that because of what God has done for us, what do we want to do? We just got to tell somebody. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Now, can you hit, when you know that and you get excited about it, you say, let me tell you what God has done for me. And when we have all that, we see that. Now, the challenge for us is we know the fact, but there's a gap between the fact and what we feel. Have you all ever felt that? If you haven't, oh, you are amazing. Most of us feel it. Where we'll say, yes, God said, you are forgiven, you're holy, you're His, you've been brought into the light, and we look at our lives and we go, but I. Do you hear what we do with that? And that but that we throw into it says, I know this is what God says, but this is where I feel like I am. Can God really love me after what I've done? You hear the gap? I'm so glad that God's forgiven me, but I am not sure, and if I can just squeak by, that's more than I could ever hope for. And we talk about that gap between where we are, and in a sense, what happens because of that gap, where we feel like, where God says, oh, I love you more than you could ever imagine, and we look at that and says, you know, I'm not that lovable. We look at that gap, and it's scary. Because we know that gap, and now what happens to us is we see what God has done to us. Because He says, now you are in the light. You are children of light. You know, the scary light is scary. Darkness feels a little bit better. Do you know that? You know why? Because when you come out into the light, do you know what happens? Everything you are is seen. In John chapter 3, light has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now we read that and we say, now I don't hate the light, but I am scared to death to step out of that because that one phrase, their deeds will be exposed. And so how many of us feel comfortable with the idea that what we've done and bringing it out into the light? You know, in a way, because of that fear, I don't go all the way back into the darkness, but what I'll do is I'll kind of stand in the shadows. I want to be in the light as much as possible, but not too much. Because I feel a little safer if I don't have to open up my whole heart and show what's been going on inside me. To reveal what I've said and done in the past. To bring out before God every thought, every attitude, everything that I would love to hide away in a box in the dark. You know, the thing about shadows, we stand in the shadows because of fear, because of our anxiety, because of the fear of judgment. And to feel safe, I'll crawl back into my box. Because the light scares me a bit. But the thing is what do we miss when we go back into the shadows? What do we miss when we try to live in our boxes? In John chapter 12, we find out there's a lot of folks who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They know He's from God. In fact, you've got some folks among the leaders who say, this man is from God. He is the Messiah. They believed it. Y'all catch? But, oh man, don't y'all hate that word when it twists it around from positive to negative? We'll do that to ourselves. Oh, God has been so good. Look at what He's promised us. But, it's like, oh, we just vetoed the whole mess. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear, there it is again, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise from God. You know what we miss when we sneak back and kind of hide as best we can so we don't bring all of it into the light? We miss so much of what God promises us when we go ahead and live by faith, trusting Him. Do we really believe that if we we come into the light and it shows what we've done and all that goes on within us, and we make it clear before God that He's going to say, oh, I didn't know that was in there. I don't know now. God already knows, doesn't He? And He's called us out of that. He's called us out of that darkness. And the truth is, at some point, if we realize the truth of what we're doing when we're hiding, we want to come to the point of being able to say, I don't want to hide anymore. I don't want to pretend I'm not who I am. I want to bring all of it before God and lay it in front of Him and say, Lord, this is my mess. And You are my hope. You are the one that's going to take care of all that I need. And Lord, this is me. This is every mistake, every struggle, every failure I've had in my life. And You know it. And this is it. I'm just got to be honest about it. You know how sometimes in my mind, here's what comes up. You know what I struggle with. And He calls us out of that darkness into the light. We know what God says about who we are now. We know He says that. But a lot of times we still feel anxious about stepping out fully into the light, to be honest completely, to be able to say, this is me. And the thing about it is, if we're willing to step in, out into the light, if we'll do that, what we find in the light is just what we need. Because it's in the light when we're able to acknowledge everything about ourselves, the truth about ourselves, that's where we get forgiveness. In our honesty about ourselves. That God takes that all away from us. So in Colossians chapter 1, middle of the context, he talks about all the things he's praying for them and what he desires for them. And he says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. God has qualified you to share in His inheritance. And what that means is we come into the light and it's not going to be, God's going to look at us and say, well, no, you're not up to standards yet. You know, we'll wait until you get there. He says, I take you where you are, and you are my child. That you are made new, you are made whole, and He's given you that qualification. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If we're waiting to get our own lives all straightened out before we go to God, we're never going to get there because we are not able to do that. In Christ, He takes care of that for us. He forgives us. He provides everything we need for our souls, and we come into the light honestly and say, it's me. But Lord, I need You through and through in every aspect. And in Him, in that. And so even though I might be scared to death to reveal it, it's there, though, in revealing it, that we're able to take that burden and put it down. Where we can talk like Paul says, you know, I used to be a blasphemer. He gave a list of all that he had done before, but he knew what he was now. And we can do the same thing. I tell you what, here's what I used to be. Here's what sometimes sneaks into my heart, and I don't want that anymore. But God is the one that frees me. God is the one that forgives me. In the light, we find forgiveness. In the light, what happens is that God is glorified in us. Because everybody gets to see. They might say, well, I know where you used to be, but wow, God is great. And that's what He does for us. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 says, you are the light of the world. Now we hear that thinking, I've got to be something special. But no, that's not what he's talking about. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify you. Glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, this isn't about us. This is about what God is doing in us and how we're being changed because of who He is and what He's done through His Son. That now when we live our lives, not based upon who we used to be in that box, but who God has made us, that now we live in Him and that He is glorified, that He is honored, that people look at us and they talk about God. And they see Him in all that we've done because of how He's changing us. Now, the truth is that our struggle in that gap, that struggle to come out of the darkness, is one that's been around for a long time. You think about Moses, Exodus 3 and 4, when he's there at the burning bush. You remember he walks up? Well, first he says, take off your shoes, which is proper. Take off your shoes, this is holy ground. Sandals. He goes up there and God starts to tell him, says, I got something I want you to do. And what does Moses do? Yes, Lord, I'll go do it. No, not at all, does he? He's like, you know, I don't talk too good. And God's like, you know, I made you. You can do this. Well, you know, people won't really believe me. But here, I'll give you something else. It'll work. But he gets to the end of it and says, you know, Lord, could you just send somebody else? I'll go back to taking care of these sheep. And God's like, tell you what, let me give you a security blanket to get here, but you're going. Take Aaron with you. He's about to come meet you. Aaron can be your prophet. So you tell Aaron what I told you to say, and he'll say it. But you go, and you say it. And we look at that, and we think, look at all the great things he did, but we forget how much he wrestled with really trusting God in the whole process. And so we wrestle with all of that ourselves, to idea of stepping out and letting God, being honest about ourselves and just letting God be the one to take care of what we need in our hearts, in our souls, to know that He forgives us, that He makes us holy, that we become His children, that we have what we could ever even imagine before, a hope for everything. And today, we are His. But we've got to step out and trust and know that He's faithful to do what He says. Now, if you've been a little worried about stepping into the light and trusting God, I know it can be a challenge. But what God gives us in His Son, oh, it's so much worth it. So good. And if you need to take that step today to put on Christ in baptism, we can do that. If you need to step out as His child and say, I need prayers because I've been hiding more than I've been living, pray with you and for you if you'll come as we stand and sing.
My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how to be alive to and death to me. What can be done to an old heart like mine? Soften it with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. Let's sing our closing song. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs. He's raised up a standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. Battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
Let's pray.